So, welcome to BEM Marketing Congress 2023, the Rethink Edition. And today we have Isabel Bonville, I hope I said that correctly, with us today from Ad Retail. And Isabel, tell us a little bit of what you're speaking about at the Congress today.
Well, the main topic about on the Congress is the revolution in retail with everything what is going on at the moment. So we have economic, ecological shift, sustainability, a big topic, and we have all the technological innovation that goes with rocket speed.
Yeah.
And if you try to catch up with the news, even the evening before the talk, Google launched Gemini, so I had to rework some of the things.
Yeah.
It is an incredible opportunity for change. And in this theme of Rethink of the BAM conference, it fits right in.
And so Ad Retail, naturally there's retail in here. So what's happening within retail? What's changing and transforming within retail with, you know, all this technology that's throwing us forward at the speed of light? Honestly, that's what it feels like.
It is exactly that. What we definitely see at Ad Retail, because we are a retail communication agency, is that we help marketeers find their way in these new things. And for me, it comes back to the core of what we have to do as marketeers. And that is starting from the strategy, the vision, and trying to craft the customer experience rather than to just communicate from the inside out. So really enhancing this. And for me, the technological innovation is really an accelerator for that. It now gives the possibilities which we dreamt of before but didn't really have for data-driven marketing and hyper-personalization. You needed the computer power and all these kind of things. And that was just really expensive. With the new tools with AI, it is possible. There are some cautions, though.
Yeah, and now you know I have to ask about the cautions. So what's some of the red tape or some of the danger areas with this?
Well, Gen AI still has some hallucinations, so you need to train it right. You need to be able to craft it right, so write the prompts correctly. It's a special skill, and therefore you need your professional knowledge. You need to know what you're asking, and you need to also curate the outcome. So there are some red tapes, and as user of Gen AI, you're responsible for that red tape, what is possible and what is not.
Absolutely. You can't just say, oh yeah, I'm using the technology, it's accountable for everything. No, technology is only as useful as the input and the person using it, correct?
Yes.
And I think today, or not today, but throughout the Congress, I've spoken to some people. We talk about biases because marketing inherently has biases and we're feeding biases. So we have to, you know, watch out for that boundary. Or on the flip side, AI is a tool and ethics is a boundary and we are responsible for managing that, correct?
Yes.
So what's an example of, let's say, something that companies really struggle with at the beginning of using these transformative tools? They say, yeah, I'm excited, I want to do it. And then they misstep, they do something wrong.
I think everybody sometimes wants to go too fast. For me, it's important to get the basics right. And the basics are, for me, the foundation. The foundation of your data, which you put in into the AI to be able to learn. Your brand data, all your visuals, what you allow or not within your context. And the second point is, for me, an important one is transparency.
Yeah.
Transparency in the message you want to give, transparency in the data you collect, and in what you want to measure afterwards. And that is important. You still need to be able to explain why you use data and how you use data to the benefit forever. And then it goes to transparency also to have the impact calculation and impact on society, on environment and on sustainability. And my third point is for everybody, start now, but start to experiment, not with box proof of concepts. I don't believe in that. I believe in proof of values. So try to identify the first point that you can make an impact. Try to make an experiment out of that. Analyze, measure, and then improve. And this needs to go in a company across all silos.
Do you have an example of a brand who's doing that well, or one that took an interesting approach to it?
Sometimes it's a journey. Yeah? So you can start from really outside and to create micro emotions. I think the example of Doritos, I think it's really cute and really well. I think by now everybody must have seen it. It's where for gamers, and Doritos is famous in gaming areas. In evening, everybody eats Doritos.
Absolutely, the snack attack. Let's go.
Yeah, but they do it in front of the mic, and everybody hears it. So yeah. Doritos created by Gen AI, crack cancellation tool. They analyzed all the crack sounds, and then you can plug it into your computer and you can eat while gaming all night the Doritos. This is a micro emotion for your target group where you do not need really serious interaction in all your systems, but you can give customer delight. And try to come up with those kind of things so you can learn and then you can go deeper. Then we have other examples of Starbucks who has a program for 3 years where in the end, by the AI and the users of data, they also decide where to open stores because half of their customers are using the app and they can do geolocation and do the calculation and all these kind of things. So start small, improve, and then continue on the journey to always improve that customer experience, to give additional inspiration and advice, and then, yeah, you're on the roll.
Then that's where the magic happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think it's also interesting there is sometimes people think technology will just solve problems and it accelerates things. But what are we? What's the problem we're solving? What's the value we're adding back to the consumer? So the Doritos case, I think, is very interesting. I'm a gamer. I've mentioned this a couple of times. Sorry for the people who are listening to the podcast consistently. But, you know, you're solving a problem in a fun way so that you just continue living and you continue experiencing. And that's, if brands can add that experience back to the consumer, then you build a positive relationship and then you're making a difference somewhere.
And this is exactly what's happening if you think outside in. You start from the customer experience. And then you're going to see where there are frustrations, where there are gaps in your process, when there are small things which annoy your customers, which break actually the experience, mm-hmm. because your processes are not really aligned. And then you can craft on those and really create those experiences. Because there's one other example, which Colruyt is actually testing at the moment, which is a smart camera with AI detection of the product, which allows the cashier, which is not actually a cashier at Colruyt, to do it hands-free, which is better for his ergonomics, but it saves 20% time in checkout. So that is customer experience, because nobody likes to wait at the checkout at the grocery shop.
No, especially when it's on a Saturday, when everybody's doing their grocery shopping at the same time, and you got to battle grandma and the students at the same time.
Yeah. So it's that point, and it goes about change, and it used to be process optimization change within the silos of an organization. Supply chain was going to do something, then the purchase department was going to do something, and then something happened into the retail area, into the stores. Well, it should not be like that. We should consider change as creating movement in an organization to jointly improve things. And if supply chain optimizes their stock, then it is better to forecast and it's better to service the client. So we need to think an impact in a different way. If you then add the layer of sustainability and the layer of transparency in communication, then you can also say in the retail area, if you want to be transparent, also show the impact of your supply chain to your customers, because it will be important. And then we go to purpose.
Yeah.
So you can draw it in your communication all the way through in the flawless end-to-end user journey. So it is a journey. Huh?
Yeah.
You cannot do it instantly.
No, that's true. And I'm going to go back to data a little bit, because we talk about making an experience for the consumer, and there's a big hype about personalization, but at the same time, that can be very intimidating for a consumer. Oh, suddenly you know everything about me. Did I really consent to that? Oh, that's kind of creepy. You know, there's a boundary there that people feel uncomfortable with, and it's our job as marketeers to kind of make sure we're giving you what you want, but not making you feel like we're creeping through your window at night. You know what I mean? So how do you, what's your take on personalization and being relevant without being intrusive?
Well, it depends a lot on how you implement it. For data, consent is everything. And consent goes hand in hand with added value. If I give you my personal data, what do I get in return? And is it relevant for me to give this amount of personal data? I had lately a conversation with one of our clients on the shop network, that the people in the store were really busy and the clients were calling to answer the phone. Yeah, should we have an answering machine? And I was explaining, like, you can also use an AI for that instead of an answering machine, but allow the client who calls, like, to say, for instance, all our employees are currently busy, but I am, I don't know, Simon, your AI assistant. If you have a question, I'm here to help you. If you prefer to wait, you can speak a message into the answering machine. And the AI could answer questions of where is my order, how is the stock, and all these things in a human language. It is possible. But do it in a non-intrusive way and allow your customers to say, yes, I would like to have this kind of service, or no, I prefer not to engage in that area. So be very in a customer-centric, consent way.
Yeah, and don't force people.
No.
Yeah, if you think it feels forced, it will absolutely be forced in the execution. I think we've all experienced that in one way or another. So what is really, you know, what's exciting you about the next steps? So we talk about Doritos, for instance, and, you know, they're using AI in an interesting way, but in retail specifically, there's so many things going on. I remember when Amazon, the shopping, like, there was nobody in the store. But suddenly that didn't work out the way that I think they expected it to. And, you know, they kind of come back from it because there's a human interaction that was maybe missing, and some sales, of course. But as a retail expert, what's some trends and some interesting things you're seeing?
The trends we're seeing is really a change in customer behavior. The digital client is there. It's digital and the physical stores. But what we notice there typically is that the digital customer, it's a global customer. We buy on Amazon, we buy everywhere. And if we go into the stores, you really want to have your local products. So it's global and local. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, I think it's also due to COVID, we see really a difference in behavior, where you put your money. Mm-hmm. On the commodity area, people are going to Lidl, to Aldi, to buy toilet paper and everything which is commodity. But the same customer spends a lot of money on luxury, on iPhones, which cost almost 2,000 euro, on travel, on fashion brands. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you can label somebody, it's a luxury client, or it's, no, it's a completely hybrid client. And I think for all retailers, the challenge is not to be stuck in the middle.
Yeah, don't put people in boxes.
No.
Yeah. So you make something I haven't discussed, and I think it's an interesting point, digital before and after COVID. I mean, everybody was rocked by COVID, if you weren't, I would love to meet you. But what was some noticeable differences? You kind of touched on one, but I'm sure there's other examples of differences.
Then we go into the meta level. I think COVID and the way we lived during COVID made each and every one of us more individual. It made us forced, actually, to stand still with what we think is important. And that is also something you see in customer behavior. It's my behavior that counts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care about how other people do things. I want to have it my way.
Yeah.
And some things I will do online, and for some things I will go to a store. I want to have advice. No, I want to decide myself. So we need much more flexibility in the way we advise, service our clients, mm-hmm, in general. Because it's individual behavior, and there is the hyper-personalization coming into play.
Yeah.
But how to solve that for each and every brand, that's difficult. So also there you need to test, you need to try, you need to see the effect and what people like, and it's good for one group, it might be totally different for the others.
Yeah.
So the individualism has increased, I think.
And I think that sometimes we want the perfect solution, and, you know, you're afraid, I don't want to put it out there unless I absolutely know it's going to do this keeping for my brand. But if you have a good test and you will get a result out of a test, don't be afraid to test it and move forward with those things.
And perhaps also just announce that it is a test.
Exactly.
Hey guys, we have seen that we want to test it. Would you like to join in the test? Tell us what you think.
Yeah, you interact
like
with
it?
This. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And then that goes into the transparency, not just on a data level, but on a relationship level with the consumer. Then you got something going on. So what is one thing AI can do for a retail brand? Let's say a store brand, Glorots or Lidl or Deleuze or Aldi? What can AI do for them?
Well, you can look at the different levers. You can go into cost optimization, you can go into better forecasting with sales data, you can analyze customer behavior, and in the end, everything what you do, you need to look at the impact. So we know that due to economic situation in retail, labor costs have increased, Belgian situation, indexation thingy.
Yeah.
And that puts a pressure on margins. So you need to optimize the way you are working. The analytics in workload planning with AI, with visually identifying traffic can help. It can be for stock forecasting based on traffic, weather, and all the areas. So you have the right product at the right time in the right place for your customer marketing.
Yep, still. There we go, with the right message.
Yeah. And then you can go further into crafting it for your customer experience and really personalize it. You mentioned some of the grocery retailers. You can also go for a building material retailer where you can have information for the DIY person who wants to buy, but it is other inspirational information for the interior architect or for the builder. So you can really have this guided shopping experience. And in the past, it was not possible to physically create all this alternative content and advice just because of the time and the cost. And this is also where AI can help a lot in preparing this and making this more cost efficient.
And I think coming back to the personalization, because you start talking about profiles, right? So the DIYer and whatnot, but for marketers also not fall in a trap of putting people in boxes and read into the contextual signals of each person and define what is relevant in those contexts. Is this actually necessary? Is this going to add value? Should we pay attention to it?
I do think so. Just from personal experience, we live with two. I don't have children, but in summer, when I have a barbecue, I suddenly start to buy for 10, 17, 20 people. After three clicks in a digital world, the context should change, because I'm not looking for the one pack of spaghetti. No, I'm looking to buy bulk. I'm looking to buy a lot of things. And my behavior at that moment, I'm somebody else. I'm a party organizer.
Yeah.
And that context can, in a digital world, change in an instant.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think this is very interesting, because there's so much potential in what you can do if you're smart with it and you define the purpose of what you're trying to achieve. Is it efficiency? Is it effectiveness? Is it relationship building? But focusing on that and finding where AI can help you accelerate that transformation, just the beauty of digital.
And that is the point, starting from your core, your strategy, your USP, and then starting to think on which KPIs will really help me build my brand, my business, and then starting to move. Because sometimes it's supply chain which you have to tackle first, sometimes it's something else. But every situation for every company is different. But it's important to draw that map and then to make a start. And then take your colleagues on board, because this is always my call. As a marketeer, you cannot do this alone. You need to convince the rest of your organization to move in the same direction with the same passion. And if you can get them on board, it will be a flying wheel, because they will see the results and everybody wants to be part of that movement. And not anymore the change in the process and the optimization, but the movement to make things better, to make things better for employees, for customers, for all stakeholders. And then we're back to sustainability, because this is the circle that rounds
it up. The circle of life. No, I won't try to sing on this podcast. But so if, you know, I think you kind of summarized it very well just there. But just to make the point clear back home, if you could summarize one main takeaway for the listeners back home today, what would that be?
Start from the outside in, really. Take the time to start from your customer experience, listen, look into the world, and then start crafting all together. Co-creation and crafting, beautiful thing.
And a quote that I think is relevant now and will forever remain relevant is, listen twice as much as you speak.
Very good point.
So thank you so much for talking today. It was a lovely conversation, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the Marketing Congress.
It's a super congress, super inspiring, and it helps us all to rethink. And that is the aim.
And there we go. Thank you.